بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم greetings of peace welcome to the Dean Sean Media your host we got an exciting program for you with my next guest no stranger to the Dean Show Sheikh Abdulrahim McCarthy is an Irish and American heritage and was born and raised in the US of A after accepting Islam in 1994 he went on to pursue a higher level of education in this deen and since then committed to sharing this deen, graduated from the Islamic University of Medina, has sat with many different great scholars over the years, and he's here with us on the Dean Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Sheikh?
Good, mashallah. Good to see you. How's everything?
Good. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So what's new since the last time we've met? How's everything in your part of the world?
Alhamdulillah, everything's good. Getting back to normal, alhamdulillah. You know, watching in the U.S. where people have the freedom in a lot of states to walk without masks and enjoy events. Alhamdulillah, it's getting back to normal here a bit. It's a bit better, alhamdulillah, but still not 100%. But alhamdulillah, it's getting better, which is encouraging and makes us happy, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So the first question is, some people might be thinking, why are you guys giving attention to this? You know, is it for us? Are we just, is this our way of staying in the loop, you know, being able to connect with the masses on what's going on? How would you answer this?
I think it's, you know, we want good, you know, for everyone. So when we talk about, you know, this topic in particular, who's the superior one and what happened recently with Connor, and we've talked about Connor in the past, you know, the issue is we want good for him, but also we want good for our youth as well. We want our youth and, you know, and Muslims and non-Muslims alike around the world to be able to take benefit from what has happened. And it's very important when any of these, you know, main events that happen around the world that we stop and we take time to reflect, what can we gain and what can we benefit? Because it's not just what can Connor benefit from this, but also what others can benefit as well. And I think this is, you know, our main goal is to be able to benefit the people, inshallah, benefit the masses.
So let's get into, obviously, to bring people up to speed who don't know what's going on, there was a big fight, a battle between Connor and Dustin. And then in the beginning stages of that, where they fought before, there was a Connor who was very respectful and he was showing a different type of behavior. And then after that, they ended up fighting again and he just totally changed. So then Khabib was asked about this. So let's get into this clip with Khabib and then we'll take it off from there to figure out who is this one that Khabib is referring to.
Yes.
This fight show us it's going to be always there, like something like superior, more powerful than we have, you know. And sometimes when people become like, oh, I'm do this, I can do this because of I'm smart, because I'm strong, like God gonna make you always humble. And you know, it's like I saw like yesterday or 2 days ago, I just saw his coach interview. He say, I don't understand how this happened. Like he's like strong young man and he broke his foot. Like I don't understand everything from God. You have to be humble. You know, when you become like rich, when you become strong, when you become famous, and then you think this is because of myself, God gonna make you humble, you know. And I really enjoy with this fight, honestly. I really enjoy. I'm very happy for
your comments, your reaction.
Alhamdulillah, you know that it shows you, and I think, and the complete opposite of what he mentioned. He mentioned several of the reasons that success, when it goes to the head, when you're successful, when you're strong and you're powerful, and when you're someone who's famous and you make a lot of money, all of these things, it tends to go to people's heads. And that's why from the teachings of Islam, you know, it focuses on this and not let the arrogance enter into your heart. And what happens is so many of these people, as he's mentioning here, they forget that there's a superior one. There's one, the one who created them, the one who has the right to be worshipped, the one who gave them this ability to be successful, the one who gave them this ability to be strong. And, you know, it's very sad to see, you know, the state of what happened to Connor, because he was really a true success story in the beginning. And someone who, you know, really, as they say, we say came from the gutter. You know, he was living off social welfare in Ireland, someone who worked really hard, was really dedicated, and he reached a very high level. obviously that went to his head. We saw he was became very arrogant, the way he walks, the way he talks, the things he says. And then he was humbled several times. And after being humbled, like you said, and like Khabib had mentioned, and I was going to mention, I believe, in another clip, is that you could see that before the second fight, he was, you know, this new man. And we were all very happy of this. Alhamdulillah, it seems that he realized, you know, the arrogant stuff and the stuff he was saying before, this is something that's not suitable, something you should stay away from. But here, you know, he came back and, you know, tried to do it again. To be fair, I do believe, and a lot of it might be more of a mental type of preparation, because maybe he thought his success in the past is that he got to the people's head. And you as a martial artist know this as well. You know, perhaps maybe his skills, you know, that he had before in his stand-up game. You know, mixed martial arts is constantly evolving. So perhaps, you know, with the leg kicks, with, you know, the grappling, the wrestling and ground and pound, like the Khabib style, our brother Islam, as you probably saw last week, you know, this, with the involvement of MMA, you know, perhaps his game just didn't evolve. And I mean, even in the Khabib fight, if you look at it from a textbook standpoint, he did what he could, but Khabib was just on another level. So perhaps maybe he thought that that's what made him successful in the beginning and went back to that. Just to, you know, to put that out there, that could be the reason he wanted to maybe beat his opponent mentally before he stepped in the ring. But then obviously what happened to him, you know, that was something. The thing is, it wasn't just something that bad that happened to him, but he was getting destroyed before that. So he can't really use that as an excuse. I mean, the first couple of minutes, yes, with the kicks and this, he was ahead, but then he was just getting pounded. He was pounding him, and then Dustin was pounding him. And even on, I saw an interview with Dustin's coach. He said that two of the scorecards on two of the judges had a 10-8 round. And that's how bad the round was for him. So, I mean, that's, and then obviously we know in the Diaz fight and others, when, you know, in the Khabib fight, when he got knocked out by Dustin, just time and time again. And this, in to show, I mean, we talked about this before, and the other thing, when he got to the level where he called himself a god, he became so successful, so good, and so rich. Instead of being humbled like Khabib, wallahi, okay, look how he dresses. Look how he dresses. The same way he dressed when he was just starting off in MMA. And look how he acts, the same way he's always acted. Why? Because he realizes, you know, the greatness of the one who created him. And I've saw you've alluded to this, and I've mentioned it before as well, always like looking up and, you know, and talking about Allah and saying Alhamdulillah, and teaching the people about Tawheed, about, you know, Allah, the monotheism, the oneness of Allah, and that comes from Allah. This success, it's not from us. It's a gift that Allah gives. Yes, there's hard work. And this is also an important lesson. And as Muslims, we don't just look at something like, if you've been given a talent, if you don't work for it, you're not going to be successful. Even myself, as a public speaker, maybe Allah blessed me with the ability to stand up publicly and to give a talk, to give a khutbah in front of thousands of people. And not everybody has that ability. But if I don't work on my trait and making myself better, I'm not going to benefit from the talent that Allah gave me. And so even if you look at any athlete, any in basketball, like we have in America, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, all of those people who had that raw talent, but they work very hard at the same time. But you see that many of them, they're very humble in how they act as well. Even any non-Muslim, it's not just Khabib. And then people realize that this is something, and from their creator. And Khabib shows that example time and time again. And if Conor were to do the same, I believe that he would be more successful, because he would receive the tawfiq, the help, the assistance from his creator. When you come up, like he said in the past, you know, that he called himself a god to that extent. And that's how much it went to his head, the arrogance. And this is mentioned throughout the Quran and the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those who are the arrogant ones, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will punish them, and that Allah will humiliate them. And this is what we see that is happening.
You can see the contrast here, like someone, for instance, like Connor, and many, not just him, but many people, when you truly have that confidence, you don't have to be so ostentatious, pretentious, and you're always looking to what people think of me, and you're trying to show off, real showy. Here you see with Khabib, what people respect and like about him, that he has this integrity, mm-hmm. that he also respects his opponents, that he's humble. And now, we talked about this before, for the youth coming up, anybody coming up, why would you want to point towards anyone, be it Connor or anybody out there who's talking about your wife, some of the most precious people in your life. You know, I'm going to murder you. What kind of example does that set for the next generation coming up if we follow that type of behavior? What's the end result?
And you know, Akhi, and you being a black belt, mashallah, and coming up in the Gracie School of Jiu-Jitsu, you know, you've trained and you've rolled with some of the, you know, really people who, I don't want to say the wrong word, but people are really tough. People are talking about killers, people who could really kill you if they wanted to. But you'll find that those people, the more they get it into that level, that they're how humble they are. And that's one of the amazing things about martial arts. And it one of the objectives of martial arts is to teach that humbleness. And then that's what it means to be a true martial artist, is to have respect for your opponents, those who you're training with, those who you're rolling with, those who you're working out with. And the more you learn, and I remember my coach in Ireland, he was telling me, and we trained MMA with him. He said that, you know, when someone says something to me to insult me, he said, it doesn't bother me, because he said, just looking at him, I've already found, you know, about 7 different ways to take him out if I want to. But he said, I already know I can do it. So he said, there's no need for me to do it. So when you have that confidence and you know what you can do, you don't have to be boastful like that. And he said in the Khabib fight, it's just business, it's this, those type of things sells. But and that is true to an extent in their field. Maybe that's why he became very popular. But everything has red lines. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about what has happened with the whole Khabib Conor thing, is that a lot of people realize, Muslims and non-Muslims, the fact that Khabib jumped out of the cage, I was very unhappy with that in the beginning, because, you know, it was just such a massive victory for him and for good in general. You have the evil being said about him, about his father, about his country, about his religion. And, you know, when people saw this quiet, calm, humble man react in this way, you know, even though we didn't agree with it, people were like, wow, you know, that these things shouldn't be said. And that kind of put a precedent for the future that, look, you don't say these things. Even Dana White and he said, look, you don't talk about people's wives and things like that. That's not proper. I mean, the things have to have red line. So and a lot of things that happen in life, you have to look at the positive that comes out of it. So I think a lot of for the youth who are coming up, instead of being influenced in a negative way, where I'm going to talk negative about people and I'm going to have this negative show off, you know, type of personality, the boastfulness, they're going to say, no, this is not the way. So I think actually it's been, you know, they say in Arabic expression, رُبَّ ضَارَةٍ نَافِعَةٍ, that perhaps it's a harm that comes with a lot of good. And I think this is one of the positive things when you look at what's happening. And as we talked in our last show, we talked about the good for Conor himself. But I want to focus as well on the issue of the good for everyone. And I think there's a lot of good in this, especially for our youth who are coming up, who might have followed that way if he was successful. But the fact he wasn't, the fact he's been humiliated time and time again, it's going to make them start to realize, you know. And then so many with other good, the success that Khabib has now, the level he's reached, and of superstardom, but yet he remains a very simple and humble man. And it came in the teachings of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man tawadha lillah rafa'ahu, that whoever is humble for Allah, that Allah will raise his status. And whoever, and he has this boastfulness, that Allah will eventually humiliate them. And he, as we see what's happened to Conor. And so if you are going to be someone's humble, Allah is going to raise your status. And obviously vice versa. And this is what happens to such individuals.
You have the leg break that happened, and people are usually looking. You look for a means. Okay, medically, what happened before his fight? He's talking about he had some issues there, and now it just the breaking point. So we're always going to look for the means of what happened. But Khabib talks about now he connects it to there's always going to be one superior to us, more powerful than us. So now he brings another equation to the table that many people exclude, or exactly. Some people will include something like that, just his bad luck, right? So they'll get into superstitions or whatnot. Who's he talking about when he's talking about the all powerful, someone who's always the all supreme, you know, who's Khabib actually talking about?
Obviously he's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and earth and the creator of all of us. And, you know, these type of things.
Are you talking about, is this Jesus?
No, about God. As you would say in English, God, which is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the Almighty Allah, the one true God, the only one worthy of worship.
So I know this can be a contentious people for contentious for some people. They start, which God? My God, your God. But this is the God of everybody. This is not to offend anybody, but this is the God that actually Jesus worshipped.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
And all throughout the Bible, when he talked about who to worship, the ones in the heavens, worshiping the one true Almighty God. And this is what Khabib is referring to when he talks about the all-powerful. And these type of things, and Allah sends signs to us. Now, Allah sends signs to individuals. Now, time and time again, a sign has been sent to Connor, but he's not getting it or doesn't want to get it. Sign. And that's just sometimes and just so successful, so rich, so famous, and he just doesn't want to get it. Allah sent a sign to us. And I always give the example of this. I think it was a very powerful example. You know, and obviously it was some time back, but, and obviously we know the story, the movie came out and all of that, the issue of Titanic, mm-hmm. when they had the audacity to say that it was so powerful that even God couldn't sink it. And what happens the first time out, it gets, you know, it sinks, hits an iceberg and it sinks. These type of things come as reminders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah. Allah gives us opportunity. He gives us signs to repent to him. This pandemic that we're going through, we've been going through, and he signs from Allah to repent and to turn to him. This is mentioned, this principle throughout the Quran. Allah wants us to open that. Why is this happening? Where is it coming from? What can we do? How can we stay safe? How can we keep and have a strong state of mind? How can we stay strong emotionally during these difficulties? We have to turn to our Creator. It's in our fitrah. That's why you find even, you know, people who call themselves atheists or call this, always at the time of need, you'll find, you know, that need to turn to something greater. And that is our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, yeah.
Do you see a lot of people also, they bring this term up, karma. This is just his karma. Now, I believe this is also connected to some religious connotations in Buddhism or Hinduism. But now, how does this connect Islamically, this term karma?
That's very important, and especially when it comes to our youth and those who are coming, even the older brothers sometimes, we're so used to watching, you know, YouTube videos and things like that, where this type of ideology comes right in the head. So when you see the leg break, right away, it's karma. Talking about people's religion, talking about people's, you know, families, their wives, their fathers, their countries. So people say that's the karma. But as Muslims, we don't believe in something called karma, and it's not permissible. And if you look at it, there's a form of disbelief in that, because it goes back, as you mentioned, to Hindu religion, Buddhism. I believe in Sikhism they have it as well, where it goes back to the issue of, you know, reincarnation. You know, people who are bad in the past life, they come back and bad things happen to them to, you know, get what they deserve, what they did in the past life. The ones who were good come back in a good form, and then what have you. Obviously, it's not something that we believe in as Muslims. But there is a principle that we have in the Islamic teachings. Both of them came from different narrations in the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. Some of the scholars talk about the authenticity of different narrations of the hadith, but the meanings are correct. And one of them is, and you come out to deen to dan, you know, how you will be, you know, things will happen to you, basically is the meaning of it. And another is al-jaza min jins al-amal, that you will get, the recompense for what you have done. You know, so if you do good, good will come to you. If you do bad, bad will come to you. And these meanings are confirmed in different texts throughout the Quran and the Sunnah. So we believe in this as Muslims. Yes, when you do, you know, a lot of good, and then good will come to you, even if it's eventually good is going to come to you. When you do bad, eventually bad is going to come to you. And this, we see this time and time again throughout history. Evil people, they get away with it for a certain amount of time, but then it comes back to get them and it comes back to haunt them. So yes, we believe in this as Muslims. But the issue of karma, it's not something we believe in. It's something we need to be careful with as Muslims, using these terminologies, not going back. Alhamdulillah, with, you know, Google just today, as Muslims, we need to be more clever. And, you know, whatever religion you are, we use a certain terminology or ideology. All you have to do is type it in on Google and you'll find right away that, you know, where this comes from. And you'll see, as a Muslim, it's not something you should be saying or you should be believing in.
The other thing people respect is, you know, we live in this I culture, iPhone, iMac, just I. And then Khabib had talked about relating to the fact when people start attributing all the straight, I'm the smartest, I'm the strongest. This could be a dangerous path. But as Muslims, you know, keeping it humble is what? Attributing it back to what you're saying, to the one who's all powerful, the supreme, the creator of the heavens and the earth, God Almighty.
Exactly. And when you look at, you know, the teachings of Islam, First of all, when it comes to arrogance and what makes someone arrogant, it goes back probably, you could say, to four or five different things, or the main reasons people become arrogant. And they're not mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, if you go back and reflect on that, and other, you know, verses in the Quran and in the teachings of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And going back to the issue of wealth, you'll find when people become wealthy, they become arrogant. Well, a lot of it goes back to the lineage, where we're from, what's my tribe, what is my people, what's my race. Knowledge is also a big fitna for many people, opens up the door to become arrogant and look down upon other people. Being successful in general, whether, you know, it could be with your, as we mentioned, wealth or knowledge, having more followers, being successful in your trade and what you do, it puts a type of arrogance in your heart. But always what Islam is teaching us is to control that type of arrogance, because it's natural. If I become very good, and I was into basketball back in the day, but now when I got a bit older, I got more into martial arts. But if I become very good, you know, what's going to happen? It comes to your mind. You kind of look down upon people. But Islam trains us, and that's the beauty of Islam, because Islam meaning submission. The word Islam meaning to submit to your creator. It's Islam. We're submitting to our creator. So even when he's blessed us with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it teaches us how to control that, how to seek refuge in our creator from the evil within ourselves and the evil of Satan, of Shaytan. Because it's something that will naturally happen, and that's what you have to understand. And I'll tell you a very interesting story that happened to me. I benefited from Sheikh Muhammad Salah, the famous Sheikh who comes on Huda TV. And he, mashallah, he with his red beard and his very light complexion, maybe people don't realize that he's actually from Egypt. You know, I remember my wife was telling me one time, she said, as a foreigner from the West, he said his Arabic pronunciation is excellent. You know, I said, that's because he's Egyptian, mashallah. Even though he looks like he's coming from the West, subhanAllah. The Sheikh, we were traveling together, and we were in Singapore for a conference, and we were traveling, alhamdulillah, in business class for the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we're coming from the transit in Qatar, we obviously have our own special line or special entrance. But in Singapore, they put us in the general line, you know, the general population line. So it kind of, you know, I said, what is this? We're supposed to go quickly. We shouldn't wait in the general line because we have a business class boarding. So the Sheikh, he said, no, no. He said, this is good for us. It was a very beautiful lesson. He said, this is very good for us. He said, it doesn't go to our head that we're special, we're better than the other people. Because a lot of times we travel in an economy as well. And he said, this is the problem. It's something Allah blessed us with this because we have very long trip. So we can put the seat down, we can relax and we can sleep and we can arrive fresh. This is the objective, not to be extravagant, but to arrive fresh and to be able to deliver on the lectures that we were giving. He said, but love, what happens is it goes to your head right away. Something this small, you know, that it goes to your head. And he told me an amazing story. He said he was saving money when he first moved to the U.S. or, you know, was there for some time, but before he brought his wife. And he said his objective, what he wanted to do, he wanted to buy a Lexus. You know, he said, I saved my money. And he went and he said, I bought the Lexus. And he said, I was in the bank one day and he said, you know, I proudly put the key with the L on it on the counter, you know, and I was so proud, you know, that the bank teller, you know, that she could see that I own a Lexus. I want people to see. And he said, I realized what it had done to my heart. So he said, I immediately went and sold the car, my dream car, he said. But he said, I immediately sold after that because I saw what it had done to your heart. So this is something that naturally happens to the heart. But one of the principles that Islam teaches us is, as we see from Khabib, right away to return that to the creator, to return it to the superior one, the one who has given you, the one who is the powerful, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the one who has given you this ability. He's given you this talent. He's given this ability to perform at high levels and whatever your trade is. So we say alhamdulillah, as we always see Khabib saying. And that's important for the viewers to understand that. What is the meaning of alhamdulillah? It's to be thankful to our creator, the one, the superior one who gave us this ability, to turn it back to him right away. We turn it back to our creator. And also from the things that, as well, is to think, you know, always I remind myself and the brothers, we could be less fortunate. We could be, being, you know, now we're American. Allah has blessed us with that. When it comes, not COVID time now, because we're all trapped now with COVID, but after COVID, we can travel almost anywhere in the world freely, alhamdulillah. That's a blessing. Other brothers, man, they can't get visas, they can't go anywhere. But what should that make us say? Should that make us arrogant because we have this passport, this ability to go all around the world? Or should it make us say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, and be happy for what Allah has given us, you know? And Allah is blessed with it. When it comes to knowledge, also, like I said, it goes to your head. I have some books behind me now. May Allah help me read them, inshallah ta'ala. But if I read more books, if I have more knowledge, I kind of look down at people. This guy doesn't know anything, you know? It goes to your head. We say, Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me with the ability to be able to read these books, to be able to understand these books, to be able to teach these books. Allah has blessed me with that knowledge. Whatever success you're in, always turn it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another thing is to look at those who are less than you. And to say, Alhamdulillah, Allah bless me with this ability. Allah bless me with the ability to be able to travel around the world. Allah bless me with the blessing of freedom that we have, Alhamdulillah, in our countries. It's a great blessing. Other people who are trapped and they can't move. Look at the people who are trying to go across, you know, the oceans to get some of the freedom that we have, man. They die in massive drownings and things like that in order to get to Europe, to get to these places where they're going to have some type of freedom. So there's all the things that they should bring us back to our Creator. This is the whole goal. This is the whole challenge. And we have to understand that wealth, just like poverty, it's a big test. Success, just like not being successful at something, it's also a big test to see what are you going to do with it.
There's a few more. We're almost out of time, but you had me really thinking about this example when you struck this example about the sheikh who went and returned his dream car. But why did he do that? Because, again, there's one all-powerful over him. There's a system now that a way of life he lives by. Exactly. And this is why people need, if they really want to take their life and grow to the next level, and they really, like we've had, I've seen myself firsthand, a few people accept Islam when they've seen these actions of someone like Habib. But these are actions that Muslims do every day, those who have submitted their will to God Almighty Allah, because they have the system and they have that taqwa, that God consciousness. So now, as opposed to someone else who's just succumbing to the peer pressure and becoming ostentatious because that's society, materialism, so they don't have a system that they live by, no moral compass, no moral code, so you're on your way to destruction. So now you've had people, I just had recently someone who was in the cartel, ex-cartel member, accepted Islam. And Habib was in there somewhere because he said he would see him. He was a fan of Habib, and he's seeing him praise the Almighty, not doing the chest bump, but he's raising his hands up above, saying, "It's not me, it's the one up above." So this triggered him to go and research and to look in. I had another guy, Reggie, actually, also came from a Catholic background. And when I mention these religions, it's not like, okay, our team against your team, our religion against your religion. It's just like if you were brought up and your grandfather was always riding in a Ford, and now there's something that's come along that is the upgraded version. Now it has everything, more so that now, not to compare the deen to a car, but, you know, if this can benefit your life more, and it's the way, the true way based on evidence and proof that it is truly from the Creator. It's not man-made, right? Exactly. If you look at it. So anyways, a lot said here, but my question was that this is why does this the Habib do the things he does? Is it because he's a great person? Is it because now he's got the formula and it's just for him? What's behind him?
Behind him is the superior, the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like we said, he's realized that. And when he puts everything back in all of his actions, he puts it, you know, takes it right back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who blessed him with this. And that's the understanding. That's like we
mentioned. That's not him. That's not something just unique. He's just an humble guy and whatnot. He's doing it because of Islam?
Because of the teachings of Islam. Because this is what Islam teaches us all throughout the Quran, all throughout the teachings of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He teaches us to be simple. And that's the beauty of Islam. Islam, we can be successful. We can become superstars like Khabib. But it wants us to remain humble. To have the success be something, but not to enter your heart. It wants us to be spiritually sound, to have that spiritual connection with our Creator, but at the same time to be successful and to excel. And a beautiful teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Inna Allah yuhibbu idha amila ahadukum amalan an yutqinhu. Allah loves one of you does something, he perfects it. So it's, whatever we do in life, Islam wants us to excel and to perfect in that what we do, but at the same time, to, you know, put it back or give it back to the Creator, the one who gave it to us, and to acknowledge that and to not let it go to our hearts and to make us arrogant and to corrupt our hearts.
Okay. And then now I was trying to strike an example. How do you, because now when it comes to the issue of trying to find the right way, the purpose in life. Some people inherit, just like I was trying to make an example, they inherit a car, they inherit certain things from their grandparents, their parents, their ancestors, and they hold on to that. Like, say, Dustin Poirier, for example, let's say he's always wearing the cross, or he's a Christian, obviously. And we respect people of all different faiths and religions and whatnot. But now someone might hold on, and they really have not gone deeper than what they've just inherited. So how do you, because it's sometimes very sensitive for people, and then it becomes like almost like, okay, you got your way, I got mine, this and that. But now, you know, I think it's just an Arab thing, you know what I mean? But you see Habib from Russia, you're from Ireland, right? From Bosnia here, we got the, you know, from all different parts of life. It's just people who want the truth. So how do you go ahead and break this ice to show people, no, Islam is a solution for all of humanity's problems. It's for everybody.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. And if you look at the problems that we're facing around the world, Islam, alhamdulillah, we have the solution in it. And it's very interesting you mentioned, because someone who is successful like Khabib, any pound for pound, any they call him, some say he's the GOAT, the greatest. He's definitely in the conversation as one of the best ever. And someone who has that religion, has that way of life, even with that success, that is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everyone to research. And what made him like this? Why did he not go and tattoo his body, for example? Why did he not, you know, doesn't act extravagant and live the lavish lifestyle? Where is it coming from? This is what his religion is teaching him. So what is that religion? So at least for everyone to go and to read and to learn more, especially in the days where people, non-Muslim and Muslim, like, have realized Khabib is a great guy, right? You know, the good he does for the community and that things he's doing and how simple he is. People like him. He's simple. He's someone who's humble, and people like that as characteristic people. What made him like that? It's his religion. It's his upbringing, being raised as a Muslim, being devoted to his religion, putting his religion before everything. And I mentioned before in one of my talks, and he was the biggest card of his life, and UFC 200, where he was invited to fight, and he turned it down. Why? Because he was fasting Ramadan. Now, and that was more important to him, the issue of the religion. He wouldn't put anything before his religion. So that's an invitation for people to come and to learn more about Islam. And if it worked for him, it worked for you. You know, being from Bosnia, living in Chicago, it worked for me. You know, Irish American descent, born and raised in the Washington D.C. area, and it's changed so many lives and made so many people and happy and find that inner peace, the peace of mind and peace of heart. That is something that everyone should take some time to research to understand why.
And we'll conclude with this. You also, if you've done a talk on this, on the deep love, you know, because now it becomes a contention because people have their hearts attached to Jesus, peace be upon him. But now, what if you, someone who also in 1994 accepted Islam, is that the correct year? And then from there, now you went on a higher level of pursuit to academic knowledge. You were so convinced of it based on proof and evidence. And now you didn't cut Jesus out. I mean, you love Jesus in the proper way, not as a God or a little son of God, but as a mighty messenger. So what do you tell people now when you talk about Jesus?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. This is something I remember I gave a talk in a church. They asked me to come and give a talk about our love for Jesus, that my son's name is actually Isa. One of my sons, his name
Your
is
Your son's Isa. Name is Isa, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And it was actually very interesting because in Ireland, in the Gaelic or Irish language, they say Isa as well. Yeah. They say it the same way, but obviously without the ayin, but the same pronunciation, Isa, they say. So, and this shows the love that we have for Jesus. And throughout the Quran, his story is mentioned in detail. He's mentioned as one of the greatest prophets. But that's the difference. We believe in it as a prophet of God, just as in the original form of Christianity as well. If you study in detail, I gave a talk about this some time back. If you look in the history of Christianity, that was the actual belief from the beginning, not the issue of the Trinity, not the issue of three in one. But it was the issue of the original belief is that he was a prophet of God. And this is obviously the proofs in the Bible. That's what it alludes to clear, that he was a prophet and not a God himself. In fact, that's why he's calling, as we mentioned earlier, throughout the Bible, calling his people and his followers to worship and to turn to the one true God. And that's the message of all of the prophets in the past. So obviously, in Islam, we have a great love for Jesus, even for his mother. If you go to chapter 19, it's the chapter named Maryam, which is Mary in Arabic. So this is something that, you know, we invite all of our, you know, Christian, you know, friends, colleagues, neighbors around the world to look into and to understand, you know, why we have this love for Jesus. What do we believe, and what is the difference? And for me personally, I was raised as an Irish American, you know, Catholic, went to Catholic school. That was our belief. But obviously, when it was built on the issue of the Trinity, and that for us, it was always something very difficult to understand, but it's something you just have to believe. When we looked into, when I looked into Islam, that was the first thing that stuck out to me, was the issue of monotheism, and either, or what we call in Arabic and Islam, tawhid, the oneness of God. And that you only turn to the one true God. You don't turn to anyone else. There's no one equal, no one like upon him. There's nothing like him. He's unique. He's the all-powerful. He's the all-great. And so when you, this belief is what really stuck out to me and had a huge impact on me. And that's why I decided to change it. This made more sense. It was more logical. Alhamdulillah, I made that choice in 1994. Alhamdulillah, and I've been happy all throughout my life with that decision. I finally found, you know, peace of heart and peace of mind and tranquility through my transformation and my, reverting or converting to Islam, alhamdulillah.
We have a great example of conversations we've had. One just recently in our program, number 857. You can go to our channel on The Dean Show, and we have an amazing Christian-Muslim dialogue conversation. You see how these can go respectfully, peacefully, and it's just about conveying, you know, in the proper way. And at the end, if you choose to continue your way, that's between you and your creator. But
at least you look, like you mentioned, at least, you know, take out the time to look and see, you know, why has it had such a powerful impact on changing so many lives? You mentioned the story of the people who saw Khabib. For me, what really influenced me was the story of Malcolm X. Mm. Now, you know, because I was someone who had a jahiliya similar to yourself. And, you know, when I saw the impact it had on him, because I felt something inside, you know, the fitra was calling me, there's something not right. I have to have, you know, one of my objectives in life was to have God in my life. You know, so I realized I needed that. I realized it was missing, but I just didn't know the way. When I saw Malcolm X, how, you know, his situation was, and how it had completely changed him and made him someone who was disciplined, devoted. And alhamdulillah, eventually, obviously, then went to the true Islam at the end of his life, rahimahullah ta'ala. So that, you know, that had a huge impact on me to go into to search deeper. And I think when people do research and take out that time, not hearing what they hear on the media or what they thought they knew about Islam, when they actually go and read and listen, like, wow, I never knew that. I never knew Muslims believed that. I never knew Islam, that's what it was. They thought it was something totally alien, something, you know, from the deserts of Arabia that has nothing to do with, you know, what they believe or they could believe, not thinking, you know, it's just some weird religion. But when they go and read it and they read about, you know, the setup in Islam, the discipline in Islam, you know, everything is clear in Islam. That's one of the things that had a really impact on me. You know, everything was clear, the five pillars, and, you know, just a very strong foundation that had a huge impact on me when I read about Islam. And that's when I made my decision. I was 18 at the time, 1994. Alhamdulillah, that's when I took my shahada and I accepted Islam.
And I think this is what really people gravitate towards, is in part of our nature, we say the fitra, is that pure monotheism of Islam, that you only worship the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're not worshiping a human being, a saint, an idol, dead person in the grave. You're just worshiping the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, Abraham, the last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon them all. This is what people, it goes in line with their innate mission to worship the one and only God. Leave it at that. Don't add a three, a five, a two, not just one God. That's it. Exactly. That's it. And people love that. And then the moral code and the proof and evidence that's in there. Exactly. So we invite people to read the Quran. We invite people to investigate, to open their hearts and mind, and ask the creator of the heavens and earth to guide you. It's that simple. Ask. And if you're sincere, he definitely will. Thank you very much, Sheikh. How can people go ahead and listen to more of your talks, your lectures, and connect with you?
Alhamdulillah, on my YouTube channel, also my Facebook and my Instagram. I try to be as active, Twitter as well, as active as I can there, alhamdulillah. So anything I have new coming out, I always put the links there, inshallah. Perhaps you can put the links in the description below for the viewers, inshallah, to follow us there, inshallah ta'ala.
Thank you very much for being with us again.
Barakallahu fi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair. And salam alaikum to everybody out there. Thank you for tuning in. Subscribe if you haven't already. And we'll see you next time again here on The Dean Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.